Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound, winging its way to you all the way from the Welsh Valleys to answer the question, how do you put on a festival? This weekend we packed our wellies and headed off to Green Man, one of the UK's very finest festivals in our opinion. Set against a mountainous backdrop in South Wales, it offers its punters a stellar lineup, independent spirit and an excellent ale and cider list to boot. It might have its own microclimate where the weather is prone to be slightly wet, but that doesn't dampen anyone's spirits. Today we're going to speak to the people who work together to put this annual festival on, which is no mean feat because we go from the green grass of home to a mini city with all the accoutrements of a weeny musical metropolis. From the organisers and operational staff to the bands that get up on stage and the artists who make the place look so damn good. All that is coming up on Culture with me, Robert Bound. Now, there's a dream team behind Green Man, a green lady and her green son. Ferny, leafy types they are, oozing with musical heritage, passion, a ready smile and an unhealthy relationship with their walkie-talkies. Communication's key, isn't it? At a suitably calm moment, we got invited into the family hearth to talk to Fiona Stewart and Ben Coleman and Walter, the Jack Russell, the linchpin of the whole operation.
People have an expectation. They know that that you're going to be able to produce that standard of expectation, and that's it. And it's time. You build up a reputation. People know they're going to do it. They experience it. They want to come again. We tend to sell out quite early, so they want to ensure they have a ticket. Yeah. I think that definitely drives ticket sales. And so it goes on. But we sell a lot of tickets straight after the festival and in, say, the first few months following the event, because people just want to make sure that they come the following year. Saying that, if we ever let the quality and standard down, that would stop. So that has to be something we strive to do.
It's a very healthy but a very fickle industry, the festival industry. I mean, it's been booming for so many years, but you're right, you're only as good as your last Sunday night in so many people's imaginations and memory, aren't you? So you kind of can't let your guard down. Is there a point at which, when you walk around the festival, where you know you've nailed it?
I think there's moments when you overhear people in discussion at a bar or something.
Yeah,
they're talking about an act they've seen that day, or an experience they've had, a workshop they've been to, any experience on site. And then once you hear people say, oh my God, I loved James Blake last night. Did you see that? And then I went to Charlotte Church's Pop Dungeon. And and that's a moment where you kind of step back and go, okay, people are having a wonderful time. And I think it was quite present, that feeling on Thursday actually this year, which I hadn't really felt, as much as that in previous years, but people were having a wonderful time on Thursday night.
Yeah, and you felt, I guess there's an idea of that with programming the festival as well, getting people here early. Lots of people want to come and they want to get their value for money under canvas and all the rest of it. So I suppose you front load the festival a bit, don't you, on that Thursday night with some good acts. It's a fast moving sort of pacey lineup of some great names. Is that something you do consciously, or is it just whoever's train arrives first?
Well, no, it's setting a tone.
Yeah.
For the rest, obviously we've got the Settlers Pass, so we've got a great number of people on site anyway from the Monday with a lot smaller acts and other activities and exploring the local area and whatnot. But so there's a build up of that, but then you want to hit people with a high octane atmosphere, hopefully of that. And that's, I feel, is to do with the music and, like Wild Beast headlining.
Yeah.
Thursday night this time around was pretty special, I think.
Yeah, it's a good turbo way to start. Yeah. Right? Fiona, we were talking a little bit earlier, actually, about where we are. We're in a beautiful part of the South Wales countryside here. And you were saying that over the hill, it's not quite so rosy. And I know you do a lot of work with the community. This, we sort of joke about all the wonderful food and drink you have here, which is all Welsh. But it's a bit more than that, isn't it? There is outreach. There are handshakes made within the region very much, aren't there?
There is. I mean, we've always done it, really. It's a kind of an ethos of the festival to put back into the community we do our events in. And it's also inspiring and a nice thing to do. We have great relationships with local colleges and we do training courses for young people. I mean, people who don't have a lot of confidence because of their personal situations, sometimes it's a very welcoming atmosphere at the festival, and that goes with the crew as well. It's not particularly stiff or industry like, and so when people come to the event, they can be part of the crew and they can build things with us, and that generates a lot of confidence building with people, which helps them with their lives. And we've been involved in sort of helping people go on to degree level for some time. I think it's 6 years. And that's a really rewarding thing to do. But often those people have come from families who haven't worked for four generations.
Yeah. Are we in the town hall or in the palace of the city here? What, Fiona and Ben, what are we talking about here? Is this an absolute monarchy or is this a... Is this a democracy here at Creamer?
No, not at all. It's very much a group kind of thing. I think we very much feel that a festival is a sum of all the parts working, and we value all of those parts. And if someone, you know, a steward manager isn't working and putting what they're all in. In fact, what we do is once a year, we all get together, and the function of that gathering is not to find out or develop their own skill. The expectation, which is quite high, is that everyone actually knows what they're doing. The reason we get together is that people find out a bit about other people's roles to make sure that what they do doesn't impact on and get in the way of other people's jobs. Because there are 47 managers here and, you know, 1,500 people who are involved, and, you know, nearly 3,000 people who are involved in creating this. So when you have that many people involved, then it really matters that the people in charge of those groups all work together, because if they didn't, none of it would work.
Now, there is so much organisation, and it is such a, as you say, a city is created here temporarily, but what about the music? I mean, both you and Ben are in this for the bands and for the guys that rock up on stage. When does that start happening? The planning stages, putting together, programming those stages, knowing who'll be good to go on after so-and-so and before this person, and actually getting the Green Man brand right, because you started off very much as a folk festival. You broadened out. You've got a bit louder in places, quieter in others. The brand is the music more than it is anything else. How do you get the balance?
Well, I think authenticity is the heart of any good brand, something that's believable and relevant. And we make sure that everything we do every year is that. We never sit on our laurels. We're reinventing things constantly and we're moving things forward constantly. So the whole issue around all of that is keeping the integrity of the ethos of what's happening, but at the same time, making it relevant and bringing new people in all the time to cultivate that kind of concept. The end game is to try and engage with people and be exciting. It's exactly what Ben was saying about the Thursday night. Every year we're producing a high octane thing. The festival you go to this year will not be the same as next year. That's a promise, that's the thing. But the feeling and the kind of vibe about it will. And I think that's what makes it really kind of, you know, that's what we strive to achieve anyway. And that's certainly seems to be very much a thing that people who come really want from us.
And talking about the vibe, Ben, Laura Marling is headlining tonight, Saturday night, on the Mountain stage. She's an old friend of Green Man's. There's a bit of a sort of Green Man Academy going on. How much repeat business do you get? There's a bit of nurturing going on, isn't there? Probably going both ways, maybe.
I hope so. Obviously, we don't want to just be booking the same acts over and over again, but there is an importance in bringing musicians through and supporting the industry, as well as obviously the need to keep our audience captivated. But it's, you know, with Laura Marling, this will be the third time she's played, and obviously headlining Saturday night at the festival feels like an amazing thing for her to be doing for us. You know, she's done incredibly well in her career, and for her to now be headlining Green Man for the third appearance here is pretty special.
It's a bit of a homecoming in many ways.
Yeah,
she was here right back in the early days.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a good fit.
Yeah, I've seen her walking around today as well. And she's taking it all in. I think, you know, I suppose that's an important thing to do just before a performance as well, to actually get a feeling of how everyone is around sight and how other people are doing.
And yeah,
just to feel the energy. I don't want to sound too energy. Or
is that a chakra?
Hippy dippy. Yeah, but she's probably just the chakras are aligning right now. And
And in terms of that, Laura wandering around, kind of going, "Oh, these guys," and being very much part and parcel.
Is that a Laura voice?
Bit too similar to my actual voice. I didn't want to kind of do, "Hi, my name's Laura Marley, and I'm going to be presenting."
Okay.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, wandering around and seeing how other people do it. What about you both? Do you have to go and do some secret shopping at other festivals, as it were, some research to do that? Or is it best just to sort of exist as yourself and not have to worry about the competition, as it were?
I don't tend to go to other festivals at all, partly because...
they're bloody rubbish.
No, not at all. I think there's amazing festivals out there, but I'd be worried that they would influence ideas about this one. Yeah. You know, what I want is for Green Man or anything we do to be the one and only time you're ever... That's, for me, personally, is what live experience is to experience a one-off, wonderful experience which is very unique and authentic.
I go to lots of festivals.
So, and do you take a notepad or do you just kind of get into the vibe? I mean, do you know what I mean? I wonder how much of it rubs off.
I think programming...
I take a notepad and I have three pens in my top pocket.
I'm doing one black, one blue, one red.
Oh, you've seen me work.
Yeah. It's all the red ones. Definitely not them. No, it's impossible not to go to other festivals and pick up on bits and bobs. Mm. Glastonbury being the original and the one where you can take the most stylistically from... I suppose, because there's so much to it. I think as a programme, this, the way I programme the festival is to try and build crescendos through the day across stages. And for one set to finish on the Wall Garden and to bounce on over to the far out to see something that could marry up well and build a day for something.
Yeah, right. That's the thing, isn't it? Because everyone needs a beer break. Everyone needs stop off at their tent. There is definitely a rhythm to a day at a festival.
I hope so.
And it is always relaxing here. It's got such a nice atmosphere. It's so lovely to come back. Thank you again for having us at Green Man 2016. Ben, Fiona, and Walter, the sadly quiet Jack Russell. I thought I was going to get a woof out of him. Thank you very much.
Well, Ben and Fiona are the head honchos of Green Man, and who else would you want running the show? They're supported by a seasoned and trusted team of festival organisers. Now we're going to meet Ian Fielder, aka Nush. He's your man for all things logistical and has worked with Fiona on festivals for years. He tells me how he brings together a wealth of artistic vision with the practical know-how to keep things safe and running smoothly.
During the festival, normally up about 6 a.m. in the morning, We go into our control room, which is downstairs of where we're living in the house in the middle of the festival site, and go and catch up with the control team who have been working all night. They sort of come onto shift at 2 a.m, and they monitor all our radio channels, especially security and stewards, and they'll give me an update of what's been going on in the evening, if there's any outstanding incidents that are ongoing.
Well, how do we rate an incident? Give me a one and give me a ten.
A one is probably something like a light bulb's gone out or a tap is leaking. We've probably never got near a 10, but let me think of some of the sort of...
We'll come back to a 10. We'll have the 10 at the end. We'll save the best for last, the worst for last. And, you know, you're in charge of a big team here. People will be intrigued to know, this beautiful corner of South Wales, how soon you are setting up, how soon the kind of infrastructure gets made. Because you're basically building a city for a weekend here.
Yeah, so we get on site about 2.5 weeks before. There's nothing here when we turn up. This year, myself and Fiona and another person working from the office, Harriet, were down here, and we're joined by our site crew who basically build the site. So they're banging in scaffold poles all over the place, putting up signage, laying out fire lanes, all the sort of core infrastructure, and they do that before anyone else comes onto site. So all the heavy stuff like porta cabins gets delivered, things like that. And then after a week, the site electricians turn up, they start laying out cables, then our decor team turn up. We're building a lot more sort of structures and decorating the site a lot more than we used to. So we've got nearly sort of 100 people just working on decor, and they spend like 1.5-2 weeks.
One of the things that's very memorable about Green Man is its branding, its signage, its typeface, all this kind of stuff, because it's a good looking festival. It's important to show people where the loos are and where the bar is and where the main stage is, but there's a great deal of artistry involved in that as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the festival is in such a beautiful place anyway, you know, we sort of build stuff to sort of fit into the natural environment. You know, we're very lucky being here. It's a beautiful place, but, you know, we can always make it more beautiful. So we, you know, as well as a decor, we've got a load of new visual arts this year. Mm. Got really interesting two light installations.
Yeah, we're going to speak to Nathaniel Rackow later, actually, who's done one of the art pieces.
And that's been quite interesting technically, because even though it looks quite simple, it's sort of builds these big sort of cubes that sort of appear to hang in the air, illuminated cubes. But here he wanted to do it in the trees, so we were rigging the structure into trees, which obviously moving living objects. So a lot of thought went into a sort of different ways to hang it, and, you know, it's quite an, for what looks like quite a simple structure, it's quite an involved process.
Basically, his artistic intervention was frankly the last thing you needed in a busy week.
No, do you know what? Like, you know, we've been doing festivals for a long time, and that's exactly what festivals about. It's marrying up the sort of the logistics and the practicalities with people's like creative genius, and that's sort of, you know, I guess what we see, you know, so you see my job doing, sort of letting all these amazing people we work with sort of realise their artistic visions.
And does it ever feel finished?
I mean,
you know, because I wonder rather when is the best point for you, when you've done all your work, the signage is there, the beer barrels are full, the electrics work, the sound system works, the security and all the charming people that show people around, everyone's in place, just before all the people turn up. Is that when you kind of, you can stand back and exhale?
My favourite time is normally Friday night, main stage headliner. You know, it feels like everyone's arrived, everything's set up, all your niggles are out of the way, and suddenly it's like whoomph, like the festival, you know, the main stage looks amazing, the band sound amazing, and, you know, it feels like the festival has really sort of come alive and started.
Your Friday night headliners last night did us proud. Do you get to stand back then at least and see almost 20,000 people in that wonderful natural amphitheatre and feel proud of
things? Yeah, absolutely. That is the sort of tingles up the spine moment. You sort of see the, you know, the fruits of like a whole year's work. And, you know, it's not just, you know, so everyone in the team, you know, that's, we normally have a bit of a group hug at that point, don't we?
I've got to ask you about the Green Man. I completely forgot. I should have that has to be part of this. Are you instrumental in having the old boy put together?
We all are, like me, Fiona and Ben, you know, I think it's, you know, we've all got our ideas of what the Green Man should be. And like, you know, it's one of the things, you know, we've got quite defined roles. But when it comes to sort of design, you know, talking about the Green Man, designing it, I think it's one of the things we sort of share equally. And we all, you know, we all put our ideas in.
And then you set fire to the poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we let you off lightly. We were talking about incidents on the scale of 1 to 10. You gave us the blowing of a light bulb. Nush, that's not good enough.
Not
we're going to
sure.
finish strongly here. What would be a 10?
One time, not at Green Man, at another festival. We were rushing to get the site ready on sort of Friday lunchtime, and the site crew were like rushing to get the last of the toilets out, and picked up a toilet in a forklift truck, drove it across site, put it down, at which point the occupants walked out of the toilet.
Okay, time for some music, don't you think? Thursday nights at festivals are usually a little quieter than the rest of the weekend, easing you in with a glimpse of all the fun to come. This year, Thursday night's headliner were indie favourites Wild Beasts. Monocle's Tom Hall caught up with them the following day.
I'm joined right now by two of Wild Beasts, Hayden and Tom. You've just been doing a little bit of DJing as well as a fairly triumphant set that we saw last night. What have you been making of the festival, and what have you been up to since you got here?
Well, Green Man's kind of familiar territory for us. It's the third time we've played it, and, you know, we feel pretty at home in this kind of environment in the hills, as it were. It's raining, it's misty. For us, it's a very kind of fitting habitat for ourselves and our music. After the show last night, been kind of parachuting back to safety, I guess. You know, it was a pretty wild show, very, very intense, and we'd been building up to it for a long time, really. I would want to use stronger language than the fact that we absolutely bloody loved it. You know, it was an amazing night. I want you to love me. I want you to trust me in the patterns of your heart. Never be apart.
It's also an interesting slot playing on the Thursday night slightly before the rest of the bands kick in, but it means that you can sort of own the night in a way. Did you kind of feel that you had kind of like some responsibility on you there to kind of give everyone a good time on that night?
I think so. I mean, I'm staying in a tent around the corner. Like, I'm actually taking the weekend, which is a very rare opportunity. But I could see people arriving with their kids in their trailers and stuff. You know, lots and lots of people. I was just like, oh, wow, we're going to be the only thing on at that point. So like, there's going to be a lot of people waiting to be entertained. There was a certain amount of pressure. I think we were on site like really early on Thursday morning to sound check and set things set up. So we're just waiting around all day with attention building and building. You know what I mean? We did feel a certain amount of healthy pressure. We generally respond well to uncomfortable situations like that. You know, I mean, I think if we felt like, oh, no one's really going to care, it would have been the show it was, you know. So I think that was really something we wanted to do.
And it was kind of interesting, you mentioned there, the landscape. I'm very intrigued by how the landscape kind of shapes the approach of a band. And this might be kind of reading too much into it, but there are certain definites when you're playing a gig with a band. You are going to play these songs that people know. When you find yourself in somewhere as beautiful as this sort of weird hidden valley, does it kind of shape the mood of the show? Do you find yourself sort of maybe trying to add a little bit more mystery, a bit of melancholy, a bit of uncertainty to the sound? Tell me about that. I mean, how do you plan your set?
Well, our set at the moment is kind of, the mission is to party, you know? We've kind of have a fair reputation as being a kind of outsider art band. We have to curate our set to kind of make that party. And, you know, it does something to your psyche being out in the hills. You know, I think we always set ourselves apart from city bands because they never kind of spoke to us in that we were kind of country kids, farm kids. So I think that is in our music. And, you know, it's in your kind of sense of artistry, I guess, that sense of smallness.
I think it's interesting, though, that you're picking up there on bringing the party there. I need to phrase this very, very carefully, because what I kind of get from your music is, yeah, like, it's upbeat and it's dancey and it's enjoyable in that way, but there's also like a level of emotion, and I definitely pick up like a bit of melancholy there, and that was why I was sort of referencing there the slightly misty, slightly almost unsettling nature of the hills. But and you were kind of like, no, you want a greater party, and it's like, it is a party, but I think people are feeling a lot of emotions while that's going on. Is that something that you're happy with?
I think it was one of the guys who were working on our artwork a couple of records ago. He said that, I feel like on the music, I can like hear the heavy skies. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the heavy clouds come in and they're kind of like, I guess the kind of like, for want of a better term, pagan elements. Do you know what I mean? Like kind of like old magic England, magic with a K. You know what I mean? And that kind of like Englishness, that kind of like rainy Englishness is very, sorry, forgive me, I know we're in Wales, but that kind of like that real British Celtic sensibility, I think is kind of in what we do very much. And like even this record, which is much more of like we made it in Texas, and it's very much like a limey band going to America to make that kind of record. So like we allow in, do you know what I mean? It's not our primary focus, but we are aware that like that's kind of our first baseline is melancholy, you know what I mean? And like, and that kind of thing. And it's kind of unavoidable that bleeds its way in no matter what we try and do, you know?
And that was Wild Beasts, and their new record, Boy King, is out now. Well, you know the form by now. Festivals are so much more than the music, aren't they? Well, what else other than trying to cram your bell tent with more fast friends than you can shake an armful of wristbands at? One of people's favourite things was an artwork by Nathaniel Rackow, a magical tree-high light piece with a huge infinite rectangle of shimmering geometry. All right, I'm a bit tired, but listen to how good Nathaniel is at telling you all about it.
The work's called Platonic Cube. It's a little bit out of the normal kind of environment that I place my work. Like much of my work, this piece draws inspiration from cities and urban environments. And when Lexi Stevens, who's the arts coordinator, said she was trying to set up a contemporary art program for Green Man, she was describing to me how she wanted to bring really high quality contemporary art into a festival context. I was like, okay, I think that's something that I can get into, even though it's a little bit different to where I would normally present my work. So I came down and did a site visit, and I was walking around the whole site and saw this forest area, and I was like, okay, this is an incredible environment to create a space with art and, you know, an environment for people to wander around and be with the work.
And there's something, I mean, something obviously very contemporary about it, the materials, the fact that it's illuminated, it's not a neon, but people might be forgiven for look. It looks like a neon, I suppose. It does feel urban, or it feels something slightly extraterrestrial in the middle of this very natural landscape. Did you want to do something that didn't necessarily clash with its surroundings, but made a statement against all the nature?
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. The idea was that I wanted to almost layer two different environments on top of each other. So take the rural forest setting and then insert something that speaks much more of an urban realm and see what happens when those things are pushed together and overlaid. I think the result is that you create almost a third fictional space, especially at night, that's accentuated by the light. So people walk into this bubble and they have to reassess where they are. It's been fascinating seeing how people respond to the work.
It's always my question to artists whether they sneak into the gallery to see what people are saying, how people are reacting to their works. Yeah. Here, you know, there's a lot of wandering done around this beautiful part of the world for the festival, and people kind of happen upon it or spy it through the trees and are attracted to it. I've seen people sitting around it like they've been sitting around the various campfires here. It's kind of got a very contemporary campfire feel. So is that something you wanted to do, to make it a gathering place?
No, that's interesting. And I think that it does really work as a gathering place. And I think that the title as well, Platonic Cube, the platonic bit refers to the platonic solids, the cube being one of them. But also, you know, platonic is also about this idea of a kind of like sort of friendship-based friendship relationship. So this gathering around a campfire ties into that secondary reading of the title. So that's definitely happened. As I was mentioning earlier, when coming down to the work, seeing how people interact and approach it. On Thursday night, when it was a bit drier, there were loads of people lying on their backs underneath the work, just looking up at it. And then sometimes I'd come down, see a few people around, and then look out into the woods a bit more and see little camps of people who had just been sort of sitting there for an hour with a beer. So that's definitely a different kind of view experience that I've achieved before with my work. So that's been fascinating, yeah.
And we, you know, we love the atmosphere of this festival. We've been here before, and it has a lot of has an idea of Liege and Leaf about it, necessarily because of the title and because of the green man that we're going to burn later tonight. Your piece is very different from that. Is that something that the geometry of it and all the rest of it, sort of strict lines, but a very sort of warm feeling about it at the same time? Is that something you wanted to sort of do, to bring something that looked so different into this setting?
Yeah, I think the contrast works really well. I think the fact that when you approach the work, it's unlike anything else that you'll see around the festival, and it challenges people a little bit as well. I think, you know, it's challenged me bringing my work to this kind of environment, and the audience here seems up for the challenge. You were saying earlier about, you know, whether or not I kind of secretly go into galleries and watch people and listen to people, what people say about the work, and I definitely do. It's really vital for me as an artist to get an understanding of how people interpret the work. I'm trying to communicate something with it, so I need to know if that's, you know, successfully happening. And the conversations that I've had with people down here, they're really into it. They're talking a lot about how they're interpreting it, obviously asking me questions, but talking a lot about what it means to them. So it just feels like it's a really art-engaged audience. They're definitely up for something a bit more challenging and out of the ordinary for this kind of environment.
There is space within the rectangle for a band to perform. If they had to, who would you have off this weekend's bill, Nathaniel, to play in Platonic Cube?
I think that probably having really, really enjoyed James Blake's set, maybe just him as a sort of stripped back thing in there with the sequence running, that could work pretty well, couldn't it?
That could work very well indeed. We recommend it. There we are, the new light show next year coming up, James Blake versus Nathaniel Rackow. Nathaniel, thank you very much for your time. The very talented Nathaniel Rackow there, bringing us to the end of this special Green Man edition of Culture, in which we asked, how do you put on a festival? You find some land, find some bands, but that's the easy bit. The reason these guys make such a splash of goodwill on the festival scene is creating the friendliest place you could wish to sway, dance like a monkey, and ogle that cloud and sun-strewn Welsh countryside. There's gold in them thar hills. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. You've been listening to Culture. My producer was Holly Farout Fisher, and my researcher was Yolene. Big smiley neon face, Goffin. Join me again at the same time time next week. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bounds, and thank you very much for tuning in.